Hi, Adi and Jean. I'm reporting from a grayer Nice this week. It might even rain later today. Let's get into a couple of fascinating films that are being released in wintry Toronto. Emily Brontë is one of the great enigmas of literature. How did an unworldly and presumably virginal figure in 19th century Yorkshire write the dark and passionate Wuthering Heights? And yet, Emily Brontë did. Frances O'Connor's film Emily is the latest effort to dramatize the great author's inner and outer life. We first see Emily in a reverie, lying alone in the British countryside's rolling hills, before quickly returning to a family that is as mysteriously brilliant and otherworldly as she is. Each of her siblings, the novelist Anne and Charlotte, and brother Branwell is creative, and cares about what will become of their strange sister. But what motivates Emily to write the disturbing poetry and prose that will make her immortal? At their curate father's insistence, Charlotte and Anne attempt to make a go of it as teachers with moderate success, but Emily and Branwell turn out to be utter failures. A large part of the film is taken up with the complicated and very emotional relationship between Emily and her brother, an alcohol and drug abuser who was never a good writer or painter. In one of the finest scenes in the film, Branwell says goodbye and hugs Emily through sheets hanging on a line. The most problematic element in the film is the creation of a love affair between Emily and the parish's new associate curate, William Waitman. As portrayed by Oliver Jackson Cohen, Waitman is likable enough, but if he was interested in any of the Brontë sisters, it was Anne, not Emily. O'Connor doesn't claim that having Emily in a love affair with Waitman is based on fact. She merely wanted to put romance, and let's face it, sex, into a story about the most ardent Brontë. But this romantic subplot feels forced and artificial. O'Connor comes closest to the mystery that is Emily Brontë in an extraordinary scene where the sisters use a family heirloom, a mask, to play an after-dinner game where you can impersonate anyone from Cleopatra to Queen Elizabeth. Emily puts on the mask and in a vivid portrayal becomes their dead mother, terrifying everyone in the room. Charlotte speaks of her as the strange one, and that's Emily, unknowable and beautiful. Kudos must go to Frances O'Connor on her first directorial effort. As an actor, O'Connor is best known as Fanny Price in Patricia Rosamund's wonderful adaptation of Jane Austen's Mansfield Park. This accomplished filmmaking debut bodes well for her future. O'Connor's choice for the lead in Emily is inspired. Emma Mackey, who made a splash in the TV comedy Sex Education, is wonderful as Emily Brontë. Mackey has the looks and rhythm of a film actor, not a TV star. She is brilliant and enigmatic as Emily Brontë and should have a future in cinema. As for the film, Emily is enjoyable, but doesn't really come to grips with the most enigmatic of the Brontës. From Yorkshire in the 1830s to Romania under communism is a real leap. But both films this week deal with strong women who surprise us with their independence. In the film Metronome by Romanian director Alexandru Belc, we're in 1972 Bucharest, at a time when the dictator Ceausescu was beginning to impose truly restrictive laws in the country. We never see the dictator, but his presence is felt as we follow the love life of Anna, a 17-year-old who is miserable because her boyfriend Soren is leaving soon to join his brother in Germany. Anna tells Soren that she won't attend a party that night, held by her best friend Roxana, but she changes her mind and goes anyway. In an extended and beautifully realized scene, we're plunged into the world of the early 70s in Eastern Europe as a group of fun-seeking middle-class kids dance the songs by The Doors and Janis Joplin, broadcast on Radio Free Europe's Metronome program, hosted by Romanian dissident Cornel Ciriac. The teens decide to write a letter of support to Ciriac, which Soren will deliver to a friend who is a French journalist. All too soon, Ceausescu's police arrive, arresting all of them for sedition. Metronome's beat turns relentless as the kids are made to sign confessions before being let go the next morning. All sign except for one, Anna. She refuses even when her law professor father comes to the police station and begs her to confess. Finally, even she crumbles under the interrogation of a truly professional security officer, but we appreciate her strength of character in a frightening situation. In a brilliant move, director Belc leaves the ending unresolved. What will become of Anna and her friends? Will they become spies for Ceausescu? Metronome is persuasively acted by Amara Bergarin as Anna and a group of young performers who truly make you feel as if you're watching naive hippies, who, by the way, could now be their grandparents. The power of politics in Eastern Europe in that period was harsh and all-encompassing. In reality, the radio announcer and programmer Cornel Chiriac was murdered by Ceausescu's Securitate in 1975. Metronome is a brilliant film which brings back an older time when politics was terrifying in different ways than they are now. Alexandru Belc deservedly won the Best Director prize for it in Cannes last year. His film was definitely worth seeing.